Hello, you're on the air with Bright Lights Pathfinders, Kathy Cook, and my guest host tonight is John DeBoer. Hello, John, you're on the air. How are you?
Hi, Kathy.
It's so great to have you here with us this evening, and the spirit of thunder, and the flute music, and the shadows of the Shadowlands, and the loons of the moonlight. Oh, my gosh. We had just loved your music, so. How long have you been playing, John?
Forever.
Forever? Yeah, in a day, right?
Right. Yeah, about 10,000 years, something like that.
Yeah, wow, man. It seems like I've known you that long. I've been curious about your music, and then I found you, and then a couple of months ago, you wrote a story about one of my stories. It's really bizarre because my webpage on Love of a Songbird has one of your stories on there. We'll get to that later, but give us a little detailed description. It's on the front page of bbsradio.com, a little bit about who you are, and you can click on John's photograph and go to a wondrous site on MySpace, which is what MySpace really is supposed to represent, all about what he's doing, where he's going to perform, where he's going to be. Oh, my gosh. And all about his actions. Hello, you're on the air.
Yeah.
Hi.
How are you doing? Speaking? This is Doc.
Who's this?
This is Doc.
Hi, FireDoc1CA.
How are you?
What would you like to ask John?
Well, I just was wondering, you know.
This is a cleansing ceremony. This is great. FireDoc's going to be debuting on my show pretty soon. He's a healer. He is the empathic coffee shop, John. He's one of the people that I was telling you about earlier that is in the group that we use for your meditations.
Oh, yeah.
This is like the head honcho.
Oh, well, glad to meet you, Zach.
He's the owner of the empathiccoffeeshop.com.
Yeah, I'm good to meet you too. I've heard so much about you as you told me you were going to be on.
Could you speak up, Doc, please?
Huh?
Could you speak up?
Oh yeah, I said she told me that you were going to be on, and I wanted to meet you anyway, so I figured this was a good way to do it.
We can barely hear you, Doc. You're like in the microphone or in the voice. Can you say that one more time for us, please?
Yeah, I was just calling in because we had talked about you before, and I wanted to meet you. I know she had talked to you about me, and I talked to her about you. And
She said that she had used one of my pieces called Loons in the Moonlight for a meditation at one of your groups, and Loons in the Moonlight is a wonderful flute piece. It uses a really, really high Native American flute, and it has a bunch of stories and things that's connected with it. It's been with me for quite a long time.
And we use it often, don't we, Doc?
Oh yeah, we use it quite a bit. Actually, it's been fantastic. More than anything, I wanted to compliment you on that. It does put me in the frame of mind for it. And just you are a phenomenal artist, and the medicine that comes out of your flute is just fantastic.
Well, thank you, sir. You honor me with your words.
And Doc is getting ready to have ceremonies, and he is very honorable with the flute as well, John.
Yeah, the flute. You're a healer, and the Native American flute of all music really is healing in many, many ways. A Native American flute is very relaxing and very calming, but all music is, it heals the soul. It soothes the savage beast.
That is medicine, that's for sure.
Yeah, good medicine, yeah, that's true.
John, do you think that you could play a piece for us, or let me just play Loons in the Moonlight. Try to play it through my phone, okay?
That'd be fine.
Okay, hold on just a second. Doc, let's do a meditation with Lens in the Moonlight together with John.
That would be good.
Okay. Ready? Here it comes. And this is to Nausicaa and Shanoia as well. Remember Nausicaa's story and Shanoia? Here it comes. How's the sound? How's the sound?
It can be. I can hear it.
Okay.
I think that they do a lot better if they tuned into the page or went to one of my many sites out there.
Okay.
John,
tell them about your MySpace. Give them the link. They could just go to bbsradio.com front page, hit your page, but if they could go to the YouTube, could you give them the direct link to the YouTube, or I could give them my YouTube address, and I've got you featured as my favorite. But
MySpace is really easy to reach. Of course, it's www.myspace.com/JohnDeBoer. That's JohnDeBoer. And
your YouTube. What is your YouTube address?
My YouTube address is under Seya Olawan, which is YouTube.com, S-Y-F-I-Y-O-O-L-O-W-A-N, means flute player, and that's pretty easy. And if you just type in John DeBoer flute, you'll get a bunch of, stories and sites. I like MySpace because it does have a lot of the things from the book that is going to be released. It also has pieces from all three CDs, the trilogy. It also has links to many of the animations that use my material, some of the PBS specials, some of the of all sorts of different things that people have done with my music, which really is a great honor for me to have other people use my pieces in their work.
Yes, it is. And I have been writing a story that I've been offered a book opportunity as well on Nausicaa and Shanoia, and it's called Coming Out of the Forest, The Million Mile Journey. And it started with your flute playing before I knew you, and it was about a story about two spirits that had met long, long ago, and it goes, Nausicaa, come, Shanoia, here now, and it starts like that, and then it connects to your story. Would you please tell about the Loons in the Moonlight story?
Well, Loons in the Moonlight is a song that I wrote many, many, many years ago, and actually, I used to play it when I was out on the in the school systems when I was teaching. I teach about 14,000 kids a year, and I used to play it. The song many times when I was out, and then play it for children, and then tell stories and everything. Loons in the Moonlight has a huge backlog. Actually, has a number of different stories. One of the stories that I like to tell is a true story, and it's not really to do with the story of Loons in the Moonlight, but it's a story that happened around it. It's called The Gift. And The Gift, I was out in the Catholic schools and one of the nuns came down and asked me if I would play the Native American flute at their Montessori school, which is like their preschool, and I on my lunch hour. And I said, sure, I'd be happy to. So I went down on my lunch hour and started playing and told my little stories and played my songs. And at the end, I was playing my way out of the preschool, kind of dancing around, and I saw a little boy who was being held by one of the nuns. And so I danced on over to him and played the flute and got down and kind of danced around him and then danced my way out and didn't think too much about it and finished the rest of my day. Well, at the end of my day, the nun who was holding the little boy came up to me while I was packing my books up and she said, I think you're an angel. And I laughed and I said, well, I can assure you, sister, I'm no angel.
That's
and beyond a shadow of a doubt. And she said, no, she says, you don't understand. The little boy that I was holding has cerebral palsy, and I haven't seen him smile.
Oh, my gosh. That is amazing.
First time I've seen him smile today in a month. And that's called The Gift. But the story of Loons in the Moonlight goes like this. Late one night, a brave was awakened to the sound of a hauntingly beautiful voice. The enchanting voice called the brave, and he followed the sounds down to the banks of the lake. As the mist rose off the surface of the water, he sat by the lake and listened to the mystical voice, dreaming of a beautiful lady singing the mesmerizing song. He searched for her in the moonlight until the red sky of the morning rose and dried the dew on
that's
the grass
awesome.
And the melodies faded away.
Wow.
Every night he awoke to her voice and followed it to the lake and searched in vain for the lady of the mist. He fell deeply in love with the soul whose mystical song touched his heart and became very depressed that he could not find her, the girl who moved him so. He was so sad, he became very sick and would not eat and could not sleep and lost the will to live. Close to his death, he lay by the lake, still hoping to see his lady, when out of the mist appeared a figure singing a magic song. Although there were no words to the song, it told him that the Lady of the Mist had a gift for him. So he would always have her voice with him to bring him joy, and to bring joy to his heart, and console him when he was sad. She had a special present for him. When the figure approached him, she appeared to him as a majestic loon, gliding across the water towards him. She took a reed from the lake and placed it into his hand. It was transformed into a reed flute with the most wonderful magical voice, and then she disappeared into the mist. The brave played the flute and sang out, and the song was strong. The voice of the flute always brought him joy.
Well,
not only to him, but to everyone who heard it. The flute not only consoled him, but consoled others with his mystical flute. At first twilight, in the early morning mist, you can hear the Lady of the Lake's wonderful flute, this reed flute, as it echoes across the water.
Yes.
Loons in the Moonlight.
Oh.
That's
wow.
Loons in the Moonlight.
That is
Isn't
true.
That just so wonderful? That's Nausicaa and Shania.
And I've heard the song, but now that I've heard the story, and that is phenomenal. Absolutely.
That's the story I wrote of Nausicaa and named them, John. Nausicaa is the name of the boy, and Shinoya is the lady of the lake.
Wow.
In my story. And they came to real life and then disappeared, just like your story.
It's very interesting. Literature in itself, many stories are based on many other stories, and just like music, much music is based on music of the past, and we kind of build on. And we were speaking earlier, and I was saying,
And you may call me fast, by the way, because you call me fast.
Find each other. And you know, you had written a song about loons and a poem about loons, and I had written songs about loons and had written a story about loons. And
I know.
And there, the loon is a wonderful bird, as well, and I'm a naturalist. And I teach naturalist education to children, about 14,000 kids a year. And I also do about 100 concerts a year, any place from 100 concerts a year, where I go out and, all over, to different places and play and tell stories. But I also just take my flute and walk out into the woods and with a group of kids and tell them about the trees and the plants and the animals and the loons, of course, the stories that I like to tell, loons in the moonlight.
Wow.
Doc, isn't he just something?
Oh, he is. He's absolutely, I knew that I was going to like him, she said earlier.
Now do you see why we use that? We love to use that in meditation, John.
Yeah.
At that empathic coffee shop, and we do healing. My hip was hurt so bad when my son was, let me give you an example of Doc's energy. And I'm a healer as well. So I usually give out, but I wasn't used to receiving. And so Doc said, Kathy, you're going to, that's my nickname. The listeners know me as Kathy and Cassie because my brothers and sisters couldn't call me Kathy. It came out Cassie. But anyway, that's how I got my name, Cassie. So, John, you call me Cassie, it makes my heart so warm. Oh, and Doc always calls me Cassie, too. And all the people on the internet call me Cassie.
Okay, so that's, I always kind of think of you as Cassie, even though I realize your name is Kathy, okay?
I know, you've always called me Cassie forever and a day. Anyway, Doc, my hip was hurting so bad, and Doc, by the way, I hurt it again today, and the wedding's in a week, and I want to wear my magic shoes. So wedding, everybody knows the wedding, Ashley's wedding's in a week. But last October, my son got married, and my hip was hurting so bad, the other hip. Doc said, you're going to have to learn to receive. He sent this tremendous energy with our favorite friend, Gibby Reeds, and they work together, but separately as well. But Doc worked with me for a long time, and Gibby separately, and healed my right hip entirely, totally, completely, to where I didn't get a jig at that wedding.
Okay.
And I have one on YouTube. All I do is Google Let's Boogie. You'll see me boogieing down at my son's wedding.
Now, Tass, I'm going to take exception here, okay? I am nothing more than a vessel, the great spirit of the healing.
It's all God. I just meant to say,
spirit is the healer, not me. He just uses me.
But you taught me how to receive.
Yeah, I did do that. I did do that.
Remember that?
I remember.
I was so close.
Quite intense.
I was so close from being hurt and people hurting me with their energies that you taught me how to learn to discern.
It wasn't easy either.
Right again, it was God, but trusting you. That discernment, I had to learn that discernment. So, John, you see what your music has brought about with us. We used your meditational music as well.
Well,
throughout that whole thing.
Yeah. Well, the Creator has all the songs that I play are really gifts from the Creator. Most of them I walked into the woods with no song and walked out of the woods with a song. And I consider all of the songs a gift from the Creator. And you know, I think the Creator has a great deal to do with the music that I play. I like to think that. I think this one of the gifts that He gives us is music to soothe our souls, to touch us and heal us in many, many ways.
I do have one question for you.
Yes, John. Oh, I'm sorry, John. Go ahead.
John, I do have one question for you. I play flute a little bit, and I'm going to say a little bit, and I try to play at night when nobody's around because I'm all that good at it. But,
yes, you're good at it, playing the flute. Oh, and let me just say, hate to talk to Angel, your wife, Sue. I love you, Sue.
But how long does it take before you can remember the song? Because when I'm in a meditative state is when I play my flute. But I don't ever seem to play the same song twice, and I can't ever remember what I played when I was playing it.
So well, you know, there's a number of different techniques. I found that many of the songs that I play are just that. They're improvisations, and they come off the head, and some of them return, and some of them don't return. But if you play every day and you pick up the songs that you played from the day before, or if you play a song and you really like it, play it a number of different times. Play it, you know, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 times that day. And then the first thing the next day, play that song. And it will stay in your mind, and that way your favorite melodies that were gifted to you by the Creator or your favorite melodies that you've made up, you remember because you play them more often. It's just like when you're memorizing things and...
Meditation is the same way, right, John? You focus on some one thing and you're cleansing out your mind, and then you can remember, if we meditate first, we can remember the song better.
True. In the mornings, every morning I wake up and I, to greet the sun and to start my day on, you know, and to thank your Creator for a new day, I play my flute. And it's the way I greet the day and to greet the sun and to thank the Creator for a new chance and a new life. And when I play in the mornings, I many times will play some of the songs that I'm kind of thinking about and working on for a new album or that have just come to me that I think are, you know, that are wonderful songs that the Creator has given me someplace along the line, and I'd like to remember them. And I also record them, you know, if I want to, sometimes I record songs just to remember what they are, even though at a low quality on a small tape recorder or something, just to, you know, because that moment of inspiration sometimes can slip. You really want to remember that specific moment, but mostly it's songs that I play over and over again that have come to me and the Creator has given me, and I think, oh, this is a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful piece that I would, you know, that, and I play it every day, and sometimes it changes. I know the songs that they evolve and they get better or they change slightly. I add parts to them, and you know, but certain parts remain the same. So, it's a matter of
saying. It's the spirit. You know, John, could you put on thunder in the background?
Okay.
The rain, so we can cleanse with the rain, the thunder clouds. Your latest, the one that's on the back of your MySpace in your background music.
Sure.
While we're talking.
The other thing I'd like to know, I recently had my flute got broken, and I'd like a recommendation on a good flute maker.
I didn't catch the end of that. You need a new flute maker?
Well, my flute got broken. I'm going to need a new flute.
Yeah.
And I just was wondering a good...
On the inside of my albums, there are flute makers and their CD, and their, not their CD, and their websites, and where you can reach them, and those are all flute makers that I use, that I recommend. There's a whole list of them, of course, that, you know, that I love, and these are people that I consider the flute maker a creator. He creates that flute, and I honor them as much as I can. You'll see that every album I have has my flute makers, okay, the flute makers I use on that album. And I give them special credit because without them, I'd be gone. You know, I mean, because I've made flutes before, and I realize, and these guys are masters. These are the best. I have a collection of the world's finest Native American flute makers. I use people like Paul Pitt, Coyote Clay, David Night Eagle, Night Eagle Flutes. He's a wonderful Lakota pipe carrier who makes flutes, and wonderful Leonard McCann of Lone Crow Flutes, Matt Stewart of Stellar Flutes, Scott Loomis, Windsong Flutes, Billy Crowbeak of Woodpecker Creations, Tony Richards, Spirit Winds, Richard Hall and Christy Combs Flutes, Ken Light, Armon Flutes, David Myers, Spirit of the Wind Flutes, Earth Tone Flutes, Colin Peterson, wonderful, and Brent Haynes, who makes a wonderful flute as well. And those are all flute makers that I use, and that, you know, those are people who are have touched my soul. And without them, I could not nearly have done the things that I have done with people, because their flutes just are magic. And I, you know, I honor them as much as I can. Every time I go out and play, I mention their names. If I have a David Night Eagle in my hand, I tell a story about it, about David Night Eagle. If I have a Brent Haynes in my hand, I tell them about my Brent Haynes. If you ever see my collection, you'll see that these flutes I have 40 flutes that have been gifted to me from the makers. And I figure that the creator wants me to play, because if he didn't, he wouldn't give me 40 flutes as gifts. These flute makers just warm my heart. I mean, you know, not only are they just great flutes, but I'd say 99.9% of the flute makers that I know are wonderful people. They have great souls and great hearts. And, you know, to make an instrument, I mean, it's not like a factory. They don't crank them out 100 at a time, you know. It's not like Yamaha, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
You know, you have to understand that these guys, you know, hand tool these flutes, and they put their soul into it. And I even take, you know, the first song out of a flute, the first original song that I record out of a flute that was a gift to me from a maker, I even think of that as their song that was inside the flute, that they put in that flute that was just dying to get out. And, you know, like I have a song on my first album called Night Eagle Singing. It's David Night Eagle, you know, is the maker of the flute that I use. I have a song on my album that's called Lonely. And then Lone Crow is the maker of that flute. You know, so, you know, I have a great deal of respect for the makers. And you know, there are people who make, cheap flutes too. Cheap flutes from China and Japan and all those different things. But a lot of the makers. If you go out to my website, you give me a call on my website or contact me. All those people I just named are wonderful flute makers. And there are more too, but those are all people that I actually use on my albums, and they make wonderful flutes.
Hey, he's got a MySpace, and you've got a MySpace, and Doc, you go through me to get to him, so we'll all hook up together like we're supposed to.
This
is phenomenal. Wonderful, darling. This is Bright Lights Pathfinders, Cassie Hillcook, Bright Lights Pathfinders. Let me give a little commercial break here. If you ever want to know who I am, you place in the name BRIGHTLIGHTS. PATHFINDERS anywhere in the universal world wide web with any word behind it, prophet, spirit, reading, code, look, see, hear, Dick, Jane, run. It doesn't matter what word you place in behind the word bright lights, pathfinders, you will get one of my teachings and lessons that I've learned. Thank you, and listen up, tune in, continue with your conversation. Okay. John and Dalton, I just had to give a little commercial break.
I often say that a flute is a piece of wood that some maker has loved and turned into a beautiful instrument. So a Native American flute or a Native American style flute is a piece of wood until somebody loves it and puts love into it, and then it becomes an instrument. So that's one of the things. You know, I have a great deal of respect for the flute makers. They make it all happen, and they touch people's lives and change people's lives with their flutes. You know, something that somebody has, and many of these things are keepsakes. They're heirlooms. They keep them all their lives, and they have flutes for 30, 40, 50 years, and some of them are passed down, and so it's I can't say enough about the flute makers. They truly have touched my soul in many, many ways. And like I said, a piece of them go out in every flute. And some of the flutes that I've received are just wonderful. They have bear totems on them and woodpecker totems on them. They look like, they're shaped in shapes of woodpeckers and hummingbirds, and just wonderful flutes, just unbelievable sound. Also huge flutes that are 3 foot long, and flutes that are so small that I can put two of them in the palm of my hand. Just wonderful, diverse sounds that move my soul.
And the wood comes from they bless that wood, and they ask the wood if they can have the tree, if they can have the wood. It's so
many
much.
Many of them do. I do know that.
Flutes
are made out of many, many different things too. The oldest instrument in the world is a 26,000-year-old bone flute that they found in a cave in Germany, and it's made out of mammoth tusk. Mm-hmm. So you have to understand that 26,000 years ago, that flute is an ancient instrument. I mean, all societies create a flute. All societies. It's one of the first instruments that they make, and now flutes, many, many years ago, they made them out of bone because it's hollow, it's easy to make flutes out of, and they survive. Now, a lot of the flutes that they made were out of, also were out of river reed, like we had talked about, you know, the loons in the moonlight, the reed flute that was given to, and a lot of the flutes are, and a lot of the flutes are made of, but they can be made out of any wood and have been made out of every and any kind of wood that you could possibly imagine. Not to mention about 250 years ago, they started making them out of metal, and hence the silver flute. And which is, the silver flute's really kind of a, it's kind of like a modern, a high-tech instrument, if you must. I know people don't think about it like that, but you have to understand the Native American flute and other flutes are thousands and thousands and thousands of years old in their origins. So they come with an kind of an ancient sound and an ancient mythology about them, that when you play them, it moves something in your DNA that's so basic, so, you know, that, you know, it's been in your DNA for tens of thousands of years of generations, and so. You know, it touches you, you know, it's the first sound of the wind blowing through the hollow trees and things. Anyway, yeah, so the flutes are, you know, flutes are real basic. They're primal, what I call primal instruments. It's something that if you were set in a forest, that you would figure out how to, you know, people learn how to beat on hollow things, and I think they learn how to blow on hollow things as their first instruments.
Don, would you please give some information on how to contact you and your website as a commercial break, please?
Okay. Well, you can of course, reach me on my MySpace, which I traffic thousands of people on my MySpace, and I do try to answer as many things as I possibly can. Also, and that's just, you know, MySpace, John DeBoer at the end of www.myspace.com, John DeBoer at the end. And also, my website is skydancerdesigns.com. And all one word, skydancerdesigns.com. Also, you can reach me, on my YouTube, site, which is, of course, YouTube, and then at the .com at the end, Sayo Olawan, which is S-I-Y-O-O-L-O-W-A-N, which means a flute player. Those are a number of different ways that you can contact me, through the web. I do like to talk to different people. I'm inspired by people, their stories, and I love to have contact with the people who buy my albums and listen to me and have heard me in concert and things. So, you know, I'm a founder of the Miami Valley Flute Circle, which is which they also head up, and last year they had the Sunwatch flute gathering that had people from all over the United States, and some actual people from England and Canada that were there. So, you know, I'm quite active and quite out there, and, you know, I try to make myself as accessible as I possibly can. Yeah, and I love to hear from all people and storytellers and everything, just as yourself, Tassie.
Let me tell you how to spell John's last name. It's John, J-O-H-N, and his last name is D-E, and then a space, B-O-E-R, John DeBoer. And that is, well, bad, John. And, oh, he got in contact with me ASAP with the most exquisite, his photographic images that he puts with a story. And you're the only one that said happy birthday to me. I was like with wolves, too. Two wolves. And I'm from the Blue Wolf Clan. I studied with Grandmother Twala at the Seneca Reservation. and I'm a blue wolf. And I was, like, touched so deeply with that birthday wish on my MySpace. But I got wished a lot in other ways and shapes and forms. But, John, you just, Doc wished me a happy birthday in Toxic Angel. But I'm just saying on my MySpace.
I've seen that you had that you had an affinity for wolves and things, and
but it was exactly
so when
my birthday,
I made out
that
your
day.
Little MySpace card, I got the wolves and put a story about wolves, and of course you know that's what I do, and happy birthday.
Yeah, but do you know, even though I don't show my birthday on MySpace, it was infinity that exact day was my birthday.
Yeah, I knew that. I'm cosmic.
Yeah, I know. You're good. You are there, man. You are so self-actualized. Oh, I love it. We are all in a school, right? We are all in the school right here and now. John, if you want to give a gift of a thought in from your heart in the listening and with your heart and not your mind, because your mind is man-made and your heart is the purest pure where the Creator can speak, what would you give the active listeners in the universal entities from your heart's desires a message? If you could give a descriptive adjective, just one word of a descriptive adjective of a feeling, what word would you come up with, one feeling of a word?
I would think it would be spirit, because they call me spirit. That's one of my nicknames. They also call me Spirit of Thunder, and there's a whole story of why they call me Spirit of Thunder. But I would say the word spirit, because I believe, honestly, I do believe that we are not humans on a spirit journey, that we are in fact spirits on a human journey. And that ultimately the physical part of it will go away, but I do believe that we are still spirits, and we will and have been spirits and will always be spirits. I would say spirit, and it has to do with the inside too. You know, if you have spirit, you have life, you have vitality. You know, and you know it describes a lot of different things that I do, and I think spirit has been a word that was used on every single one of my albums. Also, I think spirit is a word that that is almost in every one of my stories.
Gosh, John, you hit the nail right on the head, because I know that Creator gave his image the man's soul. And then,
yes.
Right, and then the spirit is exactly, the great spirit is the Creator.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Is that something? Doc, we just so love, to love, to love, to love, to love. And I was writing a story with one of your others. I'm not going to tell you yet which one, but it's called About the Sun. The sun, and the yellow, and one of your pieces of music, and it's called I Will Not Steal Your Thunder. That's a little hint, because I need the rain to always come to me in the mist rain, misty moons, weeping willow moons rain. And anyway, the sun is actually the most beautiful, wondrous thing. Because as the sun rises and falls, the Creator majestically finger paints his colors on the heavenly walls. Kumbaya, kumbaya, kumbaya. And then I go into this story about how the sun is so warm and pleasant and beautiful as we love it. But if we discard it and we stay out in the sun too long, we can get scorched by the sun, because if we disobey it and disobedient towards it, we get burned up totally. And the sun can really extinguish us as hard, and your flute starts playing really strong. And then it's just like the spew of a And then we have to chill out and be put in ice and all this stuff and ventilate to cool and chill down. And that's like spewing, and we get too cold. So then it spews to the coldest blue. And then your colors just come out. So it's like cleansing all the chakras. Oh, John, I'm going to tell you, I really love to write my lyrics to the lyrics to the music.
Well, many, many people, actually, I have been told by many, many, many people that they use my songs off in the background to you know, while they're writing. As you know, again, a lot of them are writers' poetry, stories, but also, you know, a lot of people, you know, use, you know, my songs off in the background, you know, while they're studying, while they're doing a lot of other things, because it's very relaxing. And you know, so, you know, I had, and we were talking about music healing and everything. This is a true story that I had a girl I was playing at Atwood Lake, Ohio's largest powwow, and I had this girl come up to me and buy three copies of every album that I had. And you know, of course, I was kind of interested. I thought, well, you know, Christmas gifts or something like that. And I said, you know, I asked her why she was buying three copies, and she said, well, she says, my daughter's autistic, and she's constantly shaking, and she said the minute that she heard your flute playing, she just stopped and stared and was very calm. And she says, and I want an album for my house, an album for my car, an album for my mother's house. And, you know, the Native American flute, all flutes really, but the Native American flute has a very, very calming sound to it, a very ancient sound. I think it touches your, you know, DNA, your soul, real deep in places that you don't even know are there. And I have seen this many, many times where I have read also where other people, you know, have used the Native American flute or a Native American style flute in their doctors medical doctors who used it in their therapy. It does have a real healing effect in many, many, many ways.
Want to say one thing right quick. The number three I want to dedicate to my girlfriend, Julie. I love my girlfriend, Julie. She was one of the first people that I met on BBS Radio. She signed a beautiful little thing on my BBS Radio, but we talk about the numbers, and I talk to her about you and everything, but we've been talking about the number three, and then the 333, which means spirit saying yes to us in many, many ways, and the pyramid and the Ra and also the Trinity and all that. For you to say three, John, and then the word spirit, and that is exactly every single thing that we needed to hear. Oh, thank you so much. And Doc, please continue.
Well, I was just going to say, I mean, you were talking about the different healing of the flute. I run a chat room. I always have. I mean, I used to run it on Yahoo. Now I'm over on Pal Talk. And when they get icky, and that's the best way I can say it, people get out of control when they get icky. One of the quickest ways for me to bring a room under control is to pop on the CD and play pump flute into the room. So yeah, it is absolutely healing, and it is calming, and it does. I mean, no matter how out of control that room is, I play flute music in there.
Yes, Doc, tell about your Pal Talk room, please.
Yeah, well, it just recently reopened. I was on Yahoo for about 7 or 8 years, and they closed the user rooms. And about 2 weeks ago, I've decided to open up on Pal Talk. And the Empathic Coffee Shop is going really strong. We're running into people that we haven't seen at all.
Oh, it's fantastic.
So you go
energy.
Into the spiritual and religious section, and we're under spirituality. And if you ever get a chance, come by and play for us. I mean, I would be honored if you'd ever get a chance to do that, because we just
Can I repeat that? Because it broke up a little bit. That's the Empathic Coffee Shop under Religion and Spirituality in Pow Talk. It's FireDoc1CA, and it is EMPATHICOFFIC. Right, Doc?
Yeah, double C. You always forget the double C.
Okay, you put the double C in there this time?
Yeah. And we're there, and we're there most of the day and into the night, and as a matter of fact...
We can go into the middle of the night. In the middle of the night.
That's
we
great,
go,
Doc. I'd love to drop by any time, Doc. Send me an email and get on MySpace and become one of my friends. I know you got us MySpace, too, and, you know, and send me, you know, send me... an email and say hi, and then I'll and give me, you know, give me the thing so I can the link so I can click on it. I'd love to come out and talk sometime. If you'd like to make a special of some sort, I'd love to do that.
That would be really cool, and I will get a hold of you through there.
Okay, we've got 10 minutes left. I'm talking really fast because we got so much to get in. I would like to ask Doc one descriptive adjective and one descriptive feeling that you would like to give out to the universe. An energy ball, or what would you like to kick off, or what do you feel? Feeling.
I think it's one feeling is hope, because it's out there.
Hope.
We are definitely in the age of knowing that our spiritual awakening is here and about us. So that's what I give. He already brought spirit into it, and I bring hope into it, because there are people out there that are not feeling the hope, and that's what they need more than anything. And I will send that energy, and I will send that energy all out into the universe where it belongs, and it will do the
good. Well, you have
good.
To pass it to me. Pass the energy ball to me.
I'll pass it to you.
Yes. Thank you, Doc. And John put in spirit, Doc put in hope, and I will put in the knowing. We know that now we kick it off with the most healing. The hope is wrapped around the spirit of the Creator's knowing, and we send it off to the healing of the universal world, of every creation, every word ever spoken to a human-shaped entity, thought process, any feeling, way, shape, or form is now healed. Peace and tranquility. Any calling that anyone has in their heart will now become and evolve. And we now just praise all creations, great and small. May the moon always reign in the proper reign. Always come in every way, shape, and form, and blessed and blessings be always. Thank you so much for being here, John. Oh, and Doc, thank you for being here as well. And any other things, John, I would love for you to just tell one quick story, one more quick, oh, I hate that we're almost out of time. One little quick story.
Well, let's see now. you know, one of my favorite stories that I tell all the time is about moon maidens. Okay. Oh no, I got an idea, because this is one that actually touched you. Was the eclipse of the moon.
Yes, and I've got to send you the video that I took of it.
When we had the eclipse of the moon, it's like everybody's seeing the eclipse of the moon. So even though we were all apart and all in different parts of the world, okay, when I sent out the eclipse of the moon, everybody went, oh, yeah, I've seen that too. It was like that too. But the eclipse I went out under the stars and played my flute and watched as the shadow of the earth moved across the surface of the moon. It eventually blotted out the crystal white full moon orb from the sparkling sky. The stars in the sky seemed even brighter than they did with no moon glow to compete with their twinkling brilliance. You could see the moon faintly, and it sort of had a dark, pale pink hue. They call it the red moon. When the moon was first starting to fall in the shadow of the earth, you could see the slight distortion of the moon because of the light passing through the atmosphere of the earth, and it would refract. And at one time, it almost looked like there was many different layers of the moon kind of off center. As I stood in awe, I played my flute and watched the beauty of the night in all of nature's splendor. My feet could feel the moisture of the dew on the grass, and my heart could feel the warm glow of my friends at my side.
Isn't that
the flute was singing and echoing through the silence in the shadow of the pale full moon light. It was truly a magical night and a mystical experience to witness something that happens so rarely, the eclipse of the moon.
Oh.
Anyway, and it was so wonderful.
Oh, John, I love that story.
No kidding.
I got emails from all over the
you
world.
You did. I read them.
That
I read
you know,
so many of your ones that you had posted.
And so it was really amazing to me. I didn't realize how widespread, and everybody.
That's when I asked you to be on the radio show.
I'm in with, you know, like we all of a sudden we became brothers in that we had a common experience, brothers and sisters.
Yeah, it was phenomenal.
And that's when I asked you to be on BBSRadio.com, and I want to say hello to Don, the producer, and thank him so much, and Seth, the engineer of BBS Radio. Oh, thank you so much, and the eclipse of the moon. And we're out of time. Thank you, Fire Doc, 1CA, Pal Talk at the Empathy Coffee Shop, and John Bodier of Spirit of Thunder, and forever and a day, Bright Lights Pathfinders. What a show we had today. Thank you so much. We're off the air.